Book of Matthew, chapter 23, starting from verse 1.
Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues.
Okay, now, Jesus Christ, if you remember last week, gave so many parables, and shut their mouth, and they did not have any answers. Now, this chapter, if you have a red letter edition, you will see everything is Jesus talking. Nobody's asking questions and nobody's arguing back to him. Now here says he was talking to multitudes of people, including his disciples. And now what he's trying to say, Pharisees, he says they are sitting on the seat of Moses. That means they are thinking, whatever the Moses gave the commandment, we are exactly doing what the Moses said. And they're pretending that they are the one who can tell these people what to do, what not to do. But the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is saying, they're telling you to do something. So what you do, observe what they're doing. If they're doing something wrong, don't do. If they're saying something good, you do. There is a saying, somebody says, do what I say, but don't do what I do. That means sometimes they do something wrong thing, like a father smoking and drinking, and he gives the teaching to his son, don't do what I do. I smoke, I drink, don't do, but do what I say. So that kind of teaching is very difficult to people to understand or people to follow. But Jesus Christ is saying, don't look at them, because they are the one putting the heavy load on people, but they don't do anything, even touching their fingers. He describes them how their behavior is. Read verse 5 and 6 again.
But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments.
So their motive is, let the people say good about them. They don't care about God. They don't care about the word of God. They don't care to please in God. They want to please men. St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, please read. He says, if I try to please men, I won't be a servant of God.
For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
See, so we are not here to pleasing people. We're supposed to please God. And if you start pleasing people, we will be in great trouble. Not a single person will be able to please everyone. Verse 6, Matthew 23:6.
And love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren.
Now, here they're saying, if they're invited for supper, they want the best place. They in the synagogue, they want the cheap place. And when they go in the marketplace, they want somebody to greet them and call them Rabbi, Rabbi. That means they always want somebody to please them or uplift them. Sometimes, I don't know if you saw it or not, some people, even though they're going quietly and they're going far away and they are not paying attention purposely, hey, hello, how are you? They just want somebody to pay attention to them, even though they are minding their own business. And sometimes, some people do not want to see somebody. If they owe money to somebody, They, even there is no rain, they will hold umbrella. They don't want somebody to see their face. But here this says people, they're saying they want people to give them respect. And he says rabbi means teacher. So they are teaching wrong things. And if somebody listen to their teaching, they will be in trouble. But they want to call themselves teacher or rabbi. The word of God says there is only one teacher, and that teacher is Christ. And St. Paul says, many of you want to be a teacher. Don't be a teacher, because if you are a teacher, you have a great responsibility. When you are a teacher, teach the right thing. Otherwise, don't be a teacher. And so he says, we should be all brethren. That means sometimes people think they know much more than somebody else, and they want other people to listen. So here he's saying, our master, our teacher is Jesus. We are all equal in the sight of God. Verse 9.
And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven.
Now here we see, even the commandment is given, don't call anyone on earth father. Even in India and some other countries, they don't call their father father. They don't say, hey father. They say something else. They say, whatever the mother calls husband, that's the way the children will call. But the point I'm making specifically says, don't call on earth anyone father. But we know Roman Catholic people, they like to be called fathers. Exactly what Bible says don't do, exactly they're doing it. Okay, verse 10.
Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ.
Now again, here it says teacher, rabbi, and master is the same as teacher. So again he says, your teacher is Christ. So don't call anybody teacher, anybody master, anybody rabbi. Jesus is our teacher. Jesus is our master, and he is our rabbi. Verse 11.
But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant.
Now here Jesus Christ in St. John chapter 13 gave a very good example. He says if somebody wants to be great, be a servant. And you remember what he did. He took the towel and wrapped around him and washed the feet of his disciples. And he said, this is what example I gave it to you and you do to others. That means he was showing how humble he is. But when you're starting that scripture, he says, I came from heaven, I'm going to go to heaven, and all things belong to me. That means he says, all things belong to me, I came from heaven, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm humbling myself to wash your feet. No one would do like that. The king will never wash feet of his servant. But Jesus Christ was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, came from heaven and washed the feet of his disciples. And that's the greatest example he gave it to us. Verse 12.
And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted.
This example we know. If anyone try to exalt himself, he will go down. We know the example of Lucifer. He got so much pride and he wanted to be above God, but today he's going to go to hell. So that's what the Word of God is saying. We cannot exalt ourselves. Only thing we can exalt, God. Even though if you have pride about something, be proud about God. If some miracle God is doing through you, give glory to God. Because of God, we are doing it. Without Jesus, we won't be able to do anything. So glory goes to God. Verse 13.
But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation.
Now here two things he's saying. These Pharisees teaching the word of God, and he says, you try to find somebody to teach them about the kingdom of God, but actually you are not allowing that person to enter into the kingdom of God. 50 years ago or 60 years ago, people were not allowed to read the Bible. Why? Because they knew if they start reading the Bible, they will know this plan of salvation, and they would not come to priest to ask about forgiveness and ask about what we should do now when we made a mistake. So he said that's the way people still doing it, because they think they know the kingdom of God and through them only we can go to heaven. There are some people saying even if you die, you will go to purgatory and then we'll pray for you and then we can change you from purgatory to paradise. And so he says, these people are teaching something which is not in the Word of God. And if somebody comes to learn something, sending them, that person, to hell. Another thing he says, now you might know this is happening in 21st century. As some widows, elderly people, when they have house, nobody's living with them. Nowadays we have nursing homes and things like that. In those days, only churches can take care of them. So nowadays, what the people are doing, telling people, sign up your house, sign up your property to church. And when they take everything, and they don't even take care of them. There was one lady, she had a lot of money. And I said, sister, do you go to church? She said, I go to church, but I don't trust church people. I said, sister, if you go into church, if you don't trust your church people, find some other church where you can trust somebody. And she found some man on the street, and he came and gave her the sandwiches, fish sandwich, this sandwich, whatever she liked. And she called me, said, Pastor Peter, I found somebody, a very good man. He loves me so much. He gives me fish and this and that and fresh food. I said, sister, this is just for the few days. He's going to destroy your life because he is not a Christian person. And finally we found out that person might have killed her or what, and she died within a few days. So the point I'm making, there are people, they don't have compassion, but they try to rip the people off, even though they are widows and things like that. Today also you'll see, they will tell you annuity programs, if you have $100,000, give it to us, and we will give you the highest interest. But you have to be 90 years or 95 years, then we can give you 10%. Now just think, if you have a $500,000 and you give all the money to charity and they give you 10%, how much money are you going to use within a 10 years or 5 years? Most of the money will be there and little money will be coming to you, and then nobody will take care of you. And so this is what these people were doing it. Take their houses, take their money, but don't help them. So the Word of God is saying, these people who do that kind of thing, they will have great damnation. There are people trying to rip the people off today. Verse 15.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves.
Can you imagine? He says, I don't know, this is 2,000 years ago. They didn't have advanced technology going to one end to the another end of sea. But he says, you trying to find somebody, going around the world and find somebody, one person, make him a disciple, and finally you teach him something which is not biblical, and instead of taking him to heaven, you putting him to hell. That's what's happening. Now, see, there are so many Bible colleges, and people go to study the Bible, and they're studying for 12 years. And when they come out, they don't know what they learn. One day I was standing, And there was a one lady was very sick. And so the priest came to give her the last rite. And so that lady was not dead. She was still good. She was talking and everything. And she didn't know anything about Christianity, maybe nominal Christian. So I thought, before she dies, he might tell her to receive Jesus Christ or repent of your sins or something like that. So I was waiting, what is their doctrine? The man gave the last rite and came, and I stopped him. I said, sir, can I ask you a question? What did you tell that lady? I gave her a communion, last rite. I said, but did you tell her that to go to heaven, you have to repent of your sins, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you will go to heaven? He said, I didn't tell her. So I said, why not? He said, everybody is going to go to heaven. I said, all Hindus will go to heaven? Oh yeah, all Hindus will go to heaven. How about Muslims? Muslims will go to heaven. And so everybody will go to heaven? They don't have to do anything? No. I said, sir, how many years of Bible study you did? 12 years of Bible college, and he did not learn that Jesus is the only Savior. There is none like Jesus. There are so many nominal Christians. They have the same teaching. They're thinking everybody will go to heaven. I listen to sometimes these radio speakers. They are very famous. They're preaching to millions of people. And what they're saying? Oh, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Jewish, they're all okay. They're all going to go to heaven. It sounds good. It sounds good to people, we are all one and we are going to go to heaven. But that's the way we are not going to go. He says you bringing them to your teaching, but finally you're sending them to hell. Because if they don't know anything truth, what are they going to do? They're going to go to hell. They're going to teach the same thing to other people. We cannot just blindly tell anybody we'll go to heaven and there is nothing. Then Jesus Christ came to this world. It's useless. There is no reason Jesus Christ to come into this world. He came to save the mankind. But if you make it so simple, everybody can go to heaven, then Christianity is useless. Verse 16.
Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon.
So he is trying to say, these people made their own law. You cannot swear by gold, it's in the temple. Or you cannot swear by the gift on the altar. He says simply, when you swear by altar, means everything on it, it's already there. If you talk about the temple, then everything what is in the temple, you're talking about, you swearing about the temple. When you swear about the heaven, even though not particularly saying God, but it says God is in heaven. So when you say heaven, everything is what is in heaven, you're swearing about. So in short, what he's trying to say, these people do not know the truth, and they are trying to mislead the people. What is important? The altar is important, the temple is important, or heaven is important, or God is important. They don't know anything, and they are teaching the wrong thing. Verse 23.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Okay, now when somebody reads this, they are saying in the New Testament there is no tithe. we don't have to pay tithe. Tithe is a law. Tithe was in the law, but the tithe came first and the law came later. Abraham gave the tithe before the law. Jacob gave the tithe before the law. And that's why they said our father Abraham gave the tithe, so we should be giving tithe, and that's the way they put it in the law. Now here Jesus Christ is saying, you people are giving tithes on simple things like a cumin and small plants and everything, what you make, you give the tithe. So Jesus didn't say, why are you giving tithe? That's wrong. He said, that's right. Whatever you're giving tithe, that's okay. Means Jesus approved the tithe. But he says, the other thing you're supposed to do, godly thing, the law and mercy and faith and all these things, you are not doing it. So he says, you have to do both. That's why Jesus Christ says, your righteousness should be more than Pharisees. Because they gave tithe, some of them are not giving tithe. So he says, our life should be balanced. That's what he says. Whatever belongs to the Caesar, give it to Caesar. What is belong to God, give it to God. So in this passage, Jesus Christ is not saying anything against the tithe, but he is for the tithe. And many people get mistake reading this passage. Verse 24.
Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess.
Verse 24, if you read, this is some kind of, what you call, a saying, in maybe in their language. You strain smaller things like dust and things like that, but you swallow the camel. Can anybody swallow the camel? But he's trying to say, you do not know simply what is wrong and what is right. The wrong thing you do and right thing you don't do. The another example is wash the dish from outside and not washing from inside. But he's giving an example. You are people like that. I don't think those people did not wash the dish from inside out. When you taking the dish and dish is already dirty, you don't wash outside and get the food. But he's saying, you people are like that. You people are eating some item from it and you are not cleaning that. You are just trying to show outside cleaning. And so their life is to show outside people we are okay, but inside their heart is completely corrupt. Verse 26.
Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also.
Now he's saying, what should be you cleaning? Cleaning inside. If you clean inside, the outside will be automatically clean. And so he's trying to say, clean your heart. Our heart has to be cleansed inside. And so these people, even the, I'm not talking about these Pharisees, but each and every religion you take, their teaching is doing something. Means if you do something, good works, you'll go to heaven. Hindu people teach that, the Muslim people teach that, the Buddhist people teach that, and Jewish people teach that. You do good things and you'll be all right. Isaiah says, your righteousness is like a filthy rag. Then the people say, then we should not be doing good things or what? When you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, then your heart is cleansed. The stony heart is gone, and then you got the heart of God, you got the nature of God, you got the wisdom of God, and everything what the God has, you got it. And then you start doing something good. The word of God is saying in book of Hebrews chapter 9, and if you read verse 12 to 14, he says the blood of bulls and goats can cleanse outwardly, but the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse your conscience inside to do the good works. So the point I'm making, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are able to do good works. Without Christ, we cannot do it. So he said, your hearts are not cleansed, your hearts are not good, you don't have God in your life, that's why you're doing everything wrong. Verse 27.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Now, this similar example, what he said, washing the dish from outside and inside is dirty, but he's elaborating more so they can get right meaning. He says, your life is like the grave. We bury somebody, we see some people, how much money they spend for the coffin, 10,000, 20,000. It's useless, because the word of God says, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But the people just show to outwardly people how they're doing it, beautiful burial. There was a one man used to come to our church, but he was very stingy. So he will loosen the bulb, so she will turn the light, no light coming. He will turn the heater very low. And the lady has to wear several jackets and to sit in the house. I mean, she died. He bought a $10,000 of $20,000 funeral, and he comes to me, Pastor Peter, I did the best funeral for my wife and I bought this bag. I said, sir, don't try to impress me. You treated your wife like a dirt. You treated her like nobody. And she was a nurse. All her money, all her wealth, you took it when you were young. And when she was old, she died like a fool. And after her death, you want to tell whole world how much you loved her and how big funeral you're giving to her? I said, don't try to impress me. Try to impress somebody else. So the point I'm making here, Jesus Christ is saying, what you people are doing, you are like dead bones. Outside is beautiful color, beautiful paint, and things like that. He even giving a little bit more explanation. Let's read a little bit further.
Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
Now, important, he's trying to say, just like this, the tomb, outside it looks very good, inside dead bones and all dirt. So he said, you are showing outside, outwardly people, you are a very good person. But you are hypocrites and you are full of iniquity. Verse 29.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous.
Now, if somebody will say, what's wrong doing these kind of things? If somebody died in your family or relatives or something, make a big tomb, make a monument, it's good. I don't believe in these things. Because once the person is dead, it's gone. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And when if you are a Christian, Jesus Christ will come and will rise again. When my father died, my brother wrote to me a letter. He says, we want to make a big monument, big stone and big tomb. I said, sir, I'm not going to come from America every year to see the tomb and put the flowers and this and that. He's in heaven. And I don't want to go to that burial ground like other people go and just see where my father is buried. He's not there. I'm not going to send a penny. You want to make a monument? You do. I'm not. That's why he's saying, you are people, what you're doing, you are thinking this, we are going to make burial ground looking good. Some people do. Not only they will plant the tree and they will put the flowers, they go there and do everything. Every day some people go and cry. And if I find those people, I'll tell them they are not there. You're wasting your time. Okay.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.
Jesus Christ is saying, what you people are doing it, you making the tombs of the prophets and garnishing and making it better. For what? He's saying, you are thinking, oh, our forefathers killed those prophets, but if we were there, we would never do that. And you are trying to impress somebody that you love those people who are in a grave. But he's trying to say, you are hypocrites. Your life is not right. Your forefather did it, and you have the same spirit. Verse 30.
And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.
So he said, you are trying to say, if we were there, we won't be doing this. But he's trying to tell these people what really in your heart is. Verse 31.
Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city.
Now, he's trying to say, you people are hypocrites, trying to show to other people that we are good people. And that's why you go into these burial grounds and decorating them and doing good things, showing that those prophets were good. But actually those prophets were killed. The Word of God says each and every prophet was killed by Israeli people. There is not a record that they did not kill anybody. Most of the prophets they killed. And so he's saying, all these prophets were killed, and you are their children. And you have the same mentality. That means, just like we are coming from the Adam's family. So the Adam committed sin, so each and everybody is sinner. People are thinking, oh no, because Adam committed sin, we are not a sinner, and we cannot get sin. I don't know, you know the story. One man was a servant to one missionary. And he was telling him a story that Adam committed sin, and that's why we are in this condition. So we have to come to Jesus. We have to ask forgiveness. He said, well, if I was there, and Adam has everything to eat and everything, why he has to go and eat another fruit if he has some other fruit? I would never do it. And so I think he took one small parrot, put it in a cage and covered it. And he said, I'm going to go for a journey. Don't touch that. Here is the key. He gave the key. He said, don't open, don't touch that. You have all the food, everything you have, but don't touch that. And he forgot that story. And he did not do anything, but the man says, I'm going to come such and such a day. Now he said, before he comes, I want to see what it is there. So he just opened that, took that thing out, and just open it, and the bird flew away. And then he covered everything and put it there just like he didn't do anything. But he was miserable. And the man came and he says, everything is okay? Yeah, everything is fine. Why are you so miserable? Why you don't have peace? Why your countenance is different and something is wrong? Then he said, you know what? You told me that you gave me the key and everything and said, don't touch that thing. I didn't have any need of it, but in my spirit, I wanted to do that. So I did it. So he said, that's the way it is. Adam committed sin, and that nature is in you. And so that nature only will go away once you receive Jesus Christ. Then we have God's nature. So Jesus Christ is trying to tell these people, your forefather killed the prophets. And you are trying to say, oh, if we were there, we will never do that. But he says, God is sending, the scribes mean teachers, and the prophets is saying, but what you doing? You are chasing them from synagogue to synagogue and try to kill them and trying to scourge them and try to crucify them, persecuting them, not one place, city to city. What he was trying to say? He was trying to say, I'm the one of the prophet. You are always after me, city after city, wherever I go. Any synagogue I go, you are coming and you are bothering me. And so you are the same children of your fathers. They did something wrong and you're doing something wrong. And he's trying to say, read the verse 35. He says, Abel was killed and so many prophets were killed. Go ahead.
That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar.
Now see, we learn that blood of Abel's is speaking. When you read in a book of Hebrews, he says, the blood of Abel's speaks, but the Jesus Christ's blood speaks better than the blood of Abel. And we learn that what is the blood of Abel is talking? Blood of Abel is talking revenge. And so he said, all the prophets were killed, and they are all asking revenge. Go to the Revelation chapter 6 and read from verse 9 to 11.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
Now see what they're asking. They're asking revenge. And so Abel is there, and all the prophets were killed. They're all under the altar, their souls are asking revenge. Read the verse 11.
And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled.
Now what the word of God is saying, all the people who killed those prophets and killed those innocent people, their blood will be taken on those people, means the revenge is coming. So he's saying that revenge when God is taking, he will take the revenge on you people also. So that means you're not going to escape. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 23, verse 36.
Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation.
What do you mean? All these things means all the judgment will come on this generation. He's talking about the people who were with Jesus Christ and they persecuted him. And today also some people are still doing persecution to Christians around the world. All those people will be judged. Verse 37.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not.
This Jesus Christ said it, if you remember in Luke chapter 19 also, when we study the book, when he was coming and everybody was saying Hosanna and palm branches and everything, and they were very happy. And Jesus Christ didn't pay attention to those people. He looked at the Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you killed so many prophets. And many times I wanted to bring you under my wings like the chickens, but you didn't pay attention. And so he was prophesying the days are coming that you will have so much persecution. And if you remember when Pilate said, can I let him go? They said, no, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, I don't want his blood coming on me. And he washed his hand. You know what they said? Let his blood come on us and our children. And so this prophecy, what Jesus Christ was saying, is fulfilled. Verse 38.
Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Now see, this thing happened once when Jesus Christ already said this and Israeli people were scattered all around the world. Now they are coming together. But at the same time, the word of God says, until Jesus Christ comes, still Israeli people will not be coming to Christ. Very few people are Christian in Israel today. today I was listening, or yesterday, they say, I don't know, 2 or 3 million people, tourists, came to Israel this couple of months. 2-3 million people. They want people coming. They want people go and see all these things. But very few people want to see Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They don't want Christianity in their country. But Jesus Christ is saying the day will be coming. They will be beating on their chest. They will be saying, we pierce you. Oh Messiah, please come. And he says, until that day, Jesus won't be coming for Israeli people. Now, many people are confused about the second coming of Christ. In second coming of Christ, there are two phases. One, he comes, takes his bride. Once the bride goes, then the 7 years of period is a tribulation. And many people do not believe that. But the 7 years of period, 3.5 years is a mild period. Because the Antichrist comes, makes the treaty with Israel for 7 years, 3.5 years, he doesn't do any harm to those people. And he tried to show his true color, and he tried to say, I'm your God, worship me or defile the temple. And then the Israeli people will come to know he's not our Messiah, he's not a good guy. And that's the time they start calling upon Jesus. And the Word of God says two witnesses will come. Book of Revelation chapter 11, we see these two witnesses. And when these two witnesses is witnessing, and they will be killed, their bodies will be not allowed to bury. But 3.5 days later, the voice came from heaven and say, come up hither. And so the point I'm making, when Jesus Christ comes in Revelation chapter 19, he comes, gets hold of this Antichrist and the false prophets, put them in a lake of fire, and then all these enemies will be killed. And then we start a 1,000-year reign. So the Word of God is saying, he will not come till he shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And that is in Psalm 118, verse 26. So he says, you will be calling him, and that's the time Jesus Christ will be coming. And so what I was trying to say, people are confused about second coming. In the first coming, there is no date given. You will not know when he's coming. He says he'll come as a thief. But the second coming, it is not secret. He comes openly. Every eyes will see him. And he says, after the great tribulation, he comes. So that means it's everything set. So the second coming, when he's coming for Israeli people, that is openly he's coming. But he's coming for his bride secretly. That's why so many people, scholars, they don't believe in rapture. They don't believe the bride of Christ will be gone, because there are very few references that the church will be taken. Only we see in a book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and some others. But the date is not given, the time is not given. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You have given us grace to understand the truth. Your word says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. These Pharisees, they had the Bible. They had the law. They had all the teaching. But they did not take advantage, and they did not follow the law or follow the word of God. So your word says they will be having punishment in greater judgment for those people. That's why your word says, do not be teachers, otherwise you will be judged. So Lord, give us grace. Whatever we teach, we want to act upon it. Before we teach somebody, we should put it in action and put it in practice. Give us grace to follow you. There are people dying without God and without Christ. but you have called us with a definite high calling. This world is passing away. We have a very short period of time. Whatever the time you have given to us, we learn the word and we teach the word. And we prepare other people for your soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.